you in the 06010.
Focus Football Podcast presented by Geico, and happy week one, everybody. We made it. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, Daniel Dopp. Hello to Stefania Bell, who is, of course, coming in live from the Chateau de Cone.
Yeah.
Been a long time.
We're here. Week finally. One, baby.
Feels really week good one. To be here. Yeah.
What were we talking about before the show? It's the day before the day before.
The day before, for those that watch Teddy Bruschi in his tenure on NFL Live. Of course, now on Sunday NFL Countdown, he would always say on Thursdays, the day before, which is an old Patriot saying, going way back to his time, of course, in New England, his star-studded career there. Feels good, though, to be finally at week one.
Yeah. Although, you know what's weird for me is, it doesn't feel like week one to me for this reason.
Okay, how come?
Because the season is sort of, I don't want to say it's crept up on us, but it's like,
no, it has.
I literally like, I have three drafts today. I have two on Wednesday night. I have two on Thursday night before the first game.
Yeah.
And then I have one on Saturday. We're doing a retro draft. I mean, like, so it's just like, it feels like the week before as opposed to the week of, just because I'm doing so many sort of last minute drafts.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're in the same
boat. So
you and I are in a draft tomorrow night.
I have one tonight. I have one tomorrow night. The season has crept up on a lot of people, though, Matthew. Probably not so much us. This is our livelihood. This is what we do professionally. But obviously, it's a different year in a lot of ways. And I hope that people are getting as excited for the football season as we are. We understand there are a lot of things in life that are more important than football right now, and always more important than football. But I understand how it's taken a different level of priority. But we are very excited. We hope that everybody can use Sundays as an escape, right? I know that there are very few escapes right now, but hopefully Sunday can provide an escape for you. Of course, the games begin
Thursday night.
So
I was just going to ask you one little question and everything you just said there. When you said this is, of course, what we do professionally, you're using that term very loosely, right?
Right, yeah. But, yeah, I should have. errant on the air quotes.
Yeah, thanks. Dang, I'm it. Just saying.
My apologies there. Yeah,
I don't know that anyone's ever called me professional.
No, yeah, semi-professional. Yeah, semi-professional, right?
Much.
Yeah, semi-pro. There you go.
There
good
you
movie.
Go.
All right, let's get 100%. To a little bit of news before we get to news or noise. So let's start with some news because I mentioned there's a game on Thursday.
Yeah.
This is the perfect time to bring Stefania Bell into the mix because we have our first injury report of the season. The Chiefs and Texans have both submitted their first initial injury reports. And Stefania, when you hear that Travis Kelce was limited to practice on Monday because of a knee, what's your initial reaction?
Well, the first thing I want to remind people is that injury reports, you can't put too much stock into them because you have to remember that teams, especially in the last couple years, have been penalized if they are not reporting players on their injury report who miss any form of reps in practice, if they're dealing with anything, even if it's small, even if it's a non-issue as far as teams would be concerned, they have to be listed on the report. And then I would remind everyone that this is the first week where they actually have to list players on the report. So we've been hearing things like lower body injury or undisclosed. Well, that has to change this week. So as far as Travis Kelce goes, I'm not particularly concerned because there hasn't really been any concern on the part of the Chiefs or anybody who covers them for that matter. He does have a knee that occasionally gets sore. If you go back to his first season, he missed basically the entire year because of a knee issue. But since then, he hasn't missed a game. So I'm not particularly worried about Travis Kelce.
How about Brandon Cooks for the Texans? I thought going into the season, obviously the question surrounding his health for whether his concussion history was at all a concern for him or those who are evaluating him. But he's on the injury report with a quad injury.
Again, this is where you really rely on the folks who are around the team a lot. And apparently he has been dealing with a quad issue through training camp that has essentially been managed via a limited workload. The Houston Chronicle reporting that the team has been lightening his workload leading up to this week, like they do for a number of people, to make sure that they're available on Thursday. So I don't think there's a worry about him being ready to go on Thursday. All I would say is any soft tissue injury, you have to keep an eye on it because What you do worry about is once they get out there and they start to play at full game speed, does it become a bigger issue later in the season? But as of right now, I don't expect him to miss the game.
We're going to come right back to you, Stefania. Just a couple quick hitting thoughts here, Matthew. Obviously, with Travis Kelce, like, it's not going to change your lineup decision.
Nope.
Probably won't change your draft strategy. Brandon Cooks, I would just say, like, my instinct is that, you know, Brandon Cooks, based off ADP right now, is not being drafted as a surefire starter, maybe in a deeper league. And if you drafted Brandon Cooks and you have a comparable option that based off ADP would have also been taken either a round before or a round after Brandon Cooks, then if you're still worried come Thursday night and if he's at all, you know, iffy going into the game, then maybe you pass on him for a week. But otherwise, not really major news here for me.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I mean, the thing is that at the moment, so much is unknown, but Cooks has missed a little bit of time in training camp. And like, if you drafted Cooks, you drafted him as a flyer. Let's see what we have. Like, who knows if they're going to be on the same page? Is he 100%? I don't know. Like,
yeah.
I'm probably starting Will Fuller. If I'm starting a Texans wide receiver on Thursday night, Will Fuller, who currently healthy, Will Fuller.
Hey.
That's how we should refer to him. And so for me, I'm with you, Field. It just, you know, feels a little bit risky.
This feels more like anything. This is just a reminder to people that, like, if you open up your app and you see a queue next to a player, that maybe pay attention to the injury report leading up to the week. Time now, though, for a little bit of news or noise.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Read all about it.
News or noise.
Loud noises!
All right. It was a big weekend. Got a lot of things here. Stefania, I'm going to start with you. Reichwell Armstead was placed on the reserve COVID-19 list for the second time on Friday. Doug Marrone says on Monday that it will, quote, be a while before Armstead is ready. What does that mean with this second time being on the COVID-19 list? Is this news or noise for Reichwell Armstead?
I think it's news because of the context that Doug Marrone offered, that he's not going to be around for a while. I don't think we can interpret too much about what it is related to the COVID-19 reserve list placement because, as you recall, teams are not required. In fact, unless the player volunteers the information or okays them sharing it, they are not to say whether they've been placed on the list because they've tested positive or because they've been exposed to somebody who's tested positive. I would also add that Reichwell Armstead had a groin injury he was dealing with in camp, so a couple confounding variables there. Finger. But when the coach says he's... Good job, producer Daniel. When the coach says he's not going to be around for a while, you take him at his word.
Yeah, so I think this is obviously news too, Matthew, because and I saw this was something that was made, or several people on Twitter made sort of a similar statement here, and I would love to go back and look at 2019 and see how many backfields wound up basically having no value, as in like no one that you've reliably started more than on a desperation basis. And it's feeling like that's where the Jaguars are headed right now. I thought they were going to sign Devontae Freeman over the weekend. That didn't come together. Now it's, and with all due respect to these players who have had nice camps, James Robinson, an undrafted rookie out of Illinois State, and Divine Ozigbo last year entered the NFL as an undrafted rookie out of Nebraska, and Chris Thompson. I think Thompson's the only one that has any value to me, and it's in a deep PPR league. A PPR league, maybe not even a deep one. That's about it for me with this backfield.
I don't
backfield.
Mind taking a flyer on any of those guys. I don't mind taking a flyer on Ozigbo or Robinson. And I agree with you. Thompson legit has value in a deeper PPR league. This is going to be a pass-heavy offense.
Yeah.
You know, listen, and their matchup this weekend with the Colts. Colts actually struggle against pass-catching running backs, at least they did last year.
Right.
And so I think that's, you know, interesting. But if Ozigbo or Robinson, pun intended, run away with a job, like they're going to go with it. I think it's a committee to start. I think they're going to see what they have. To your point, there's not a lot of road testing with either of these guys. They're both relatively young players who haven't had a lot of NFL experience. Like, you know, we think there's something potentially there, but I'm with you.
Yeah, but it's like, it could be with Ozigbo. It could be with Washington. It could be, I mean, they brought Devontae Freeman in for a reason. Who's to say they don't bring in another veteran running back? So I think, and what I forgot to actually finish off was several in the fantasy community had said, hey, the answer to the Jaguars backfield of which player you want is none of them, right? You don't want any of these Jaguars backfield.
Right. Listen, if you're in a crazy deep league, then they all have, you know, anyone with a pulse has a value. But if you're talking about a standard 10 or 12 team league, I think it's unlikely that any of these guys get drafted as anything other than a very late round flyer. And even then, there's other late round flyers that I think I prefer. In a 10 or 12 team league.
They're all in the bucket right here. What else, Daniel?
All right, next up, speaking of really good and successful and very strong backfields, Adrian Peterson signs with the Detroit Lions. Is this news or noise not just for his fantasy value, but more importantly for DeAndre Swift and Kerryon Johnson's fantasy value?
This is news.
Yeah, man, this is news. You start.
This is news. Look, Matt Patricia comes from, and Bob Quinn, the general manager of the Lions, they come from New England. They come from the Bill Belichick school, the coaching tree, and what has New England done forever and done very effectively? Running back by committee. So you think about what Matt Patricia has done since he's been there. Listen, were there stretches of time where Kerryon Johnson looked like he was going to be the guy? Yes, but ultimately it felt like, and you know, when Stafford gets hurt, and so they're like, okay, like the only thing that works is here, Bo Scarborough, run the ball 20 times. But in general, it has been a running back by committee since Matt Patricia got to Detroit. And so now you've got Kerryon Johnson, who I think is a good football player. I mean, so many people are so on DeAndre Swift, and I get it. His tape was amazing from Georgia. I understand that. But Kerryon Johnson's not like chopped liver. So you've got like a talented running back in Kerryon Johnson. You've got an explosive rookie in DeAndre Swift, who a lot of people would not have been shocked if he'd been the number one running back taken.
Right.
And then you add somebody like Adrian Peterson. And Adrian Peterson, the quotes that came out, I think it was Joe Cena who had it, but like the quotes were like, they're giving me a chance to play. Like Adrian Peterson got multiple offers of people that wanted to, you know, a guy who's a good veteran, a guy that can, you know, still produce at a high level. And he went to Detroit because he's like, they're going to give me a chance to play.
Right.
Which makes sense.
Yep.
So, and this is just, I think it is good for your Detroit Lions football team there, Daniel.
Agreed.
I think this is bad for the fantasy value of all running backs.
Agreed.
I think it's a running back by committee. to me, it is much worse for Kerryon than DeAndre Swift. I think Swift will be more involved in the passing game.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Swift's a little bit banged up himself, by the way,
correct,
right now. So,
which that may be part of the reason for Peterson as well. I mean, we don't know the extent of that injury. They may have like, hey, we really need some depth here.
For those that maybe have already drafted, or maybe maybe more pertinent for those that have not yet drafted, I don't know that I could draft any Lions running back inside the top 30 backs right now. It's just hard. And again, one of them very well could emerge. If DeAndre Swift had gone 32nd to the Chiefs, we'd be talking about DeAndre Swift very similarly to how we're talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That's how talented he is. But
correct,
circumstance is a huge factor in fantasy, and I'm lukewarm on all these guys now. I think one of them could eventually emerge, but going into the season, I can't say confidently it's Swift or it's definitely Kerryon Johnson. It's not Adrian Peterson, but he still might have 200 carries this year.
That's right. He may vulture 7 touchdowns. You know what I mean? So, right. Look, we talk about this. Fantasy success, very simply, is talent plus opportunity.
Right.
We know about the talent of DeAndre Swift. The opportunity we're not sure about, because he's going to be splitting touches with 2 other guys. To your point, he's already been banged up. His current ADP is running back 27, and Kerryon's going as running back 32. You and I both are much lower on consensus. I am at Swift at 33. You have him at 36. Daniel Dopp has him at 2, which I think – it's 2-4. You have him at 2-4.
And that's been lowered since the Adrian Peterson.
Right.
I have him at 31 now.
Okay, so there you go. So we all have him outside the top 30. I have Kerryon at 37. Field, you have him at 39. Daniel also outside the top 30 for him as well. So all of us don't have a Detroit Lions running back inside the top 30 here. The one thing I will say is, though, I'm in a couple of different deep leagues – and, you know, like Scott Fishbowl, which we drafted in the middle of July. And
right.
Kerryon's one of my running backs there. I put Kerryon into my starting lineup this week. I do think Kerryon could be a sneaky start this week. Hear me out. DeAndre Swift's been banged up, so we don't know his availability and how much he knows of the offense yet. Peterson just got there. So I do think that Kerryon Johnson could actually be, especially for DFS, I know Squiz Smurl.
Yep.
Squirrel Smiz.
Yep.
What do they do to you?
DSS, DFS. Clay Squirrel and Smizzle.
Did someone hurt him?
Squirrel, I think so.
Jeez. Yeah. Let's move forward. You're such a hater.
I'm not a hater. I just don't understand the name. I'm trying to get it.
DSS, DFS. Just say DSS, DFS.
Clay is Mike. So Mike's last name is Clay, right?
That I'm familiar with.
And then Daniel's, his middle name. I'm sorry. His middle name is Squirrel. It's also his middle name.
Squirrel.
Right.
And our friend Al Zeidenfeld's nickname
goes by
Smiz.
So Clay, Squirrel, and Smiz, right? CSS. And then DFS because
it rhymes.
So Daily Fantasy Sports.
DSS, DFS.
A lot of alliteration.
That makes sense now?
Yes, I think I finally get it. I don't know that I'll necessarily remember it, but CSS DFS comes out on Thursday, so I'm really excited about that. I'm a company man, but I do think Kerryon Johnson is potentially an interesting play this week in DFS and in leagues which you drafted, just because I think it's going to take a while before Peterson and Swift get up to
right.
speed.
Okay, cool. All right. Let's move forward.
Third up. Lamar Miller, released by New England, and let's not forget Damian Harris was placed on IR on Friday. Is this news or noise for the Patriots' backfield?
I'm going to say it's noise, and I'll tell you why.
All right.
Because our very own Field Yates on this very show called this like a week ago.
Mm.
Like, we were talking about this backfield, and Field was like, I'm not convinced Lamar Miller makes this team. You go back and listen to the tape, and you talk about the fact that you just, like, you weren't convinced he was going to make the team, and certainly we talked about you didn't think everyone was going to make the team, and so I just wanted to give you props because
you
said that a week ago, like, I'm not convinced Miller makes this team. And then as the news came out, and this is not anyone that works at ESPN, but there were some people that were like, wow, what a massive surprise. And I was like, not if you listen to the podcast
to us.
Like a week ago. So
I also think
it's noise because to me it doesn't affect the value of any of the running backs in New England Field. I was not factoring Lamar Miller into my ranking of Sony Michel or Damian Harris or James White. It was just, for me, this is another backfield. Like, I think James White probably has the most value. And as we've talked about, could one of these guys emerge, especially Damian Harris? Sure, possibly. But I just think it's going to be a crowded backfield, and they're all competing with Cam Newton.
Okay, so I want to go to Stefania and then sort of double back with one closeout thought that ties together what you had to say. But Stefania, what do you have to add on this Patriots backfield?
Well, you know, you obviously made the right call on Lamar Miller, who was coming off an ACL surgery, and you can be doing really well in your rehab and still not be football ready, and it sounds like that was potentially part of the issue. As far as Damian Harris, also listen to Mike Reese. I mean, he gave us the clue after Damian Harris had that surgery on his pinky finger that he wasn't only going to miss week one, but he might miss multiple weeks. And you understand the move to IR. Just a reminder that players can move off of IR. There's an unlimited number of return from IR designations this year. In other words, you really don't have to designate, but they can move players up and down. So you're going to see the IR utilization much more in place this year.
Yeah, we saw more than a handful of players placed there yesterday. My last minute thought that I wanted to add here. You just mentioned Kerryon Johnson, maybe having some week one value and potentially some early season value if DeAndre Swift is not healthy. I think the stars are kind of aligned for a reasonable Sony Michel start. I am not super excited about the player. Obviously, it's been multiple years, but he came off PUP a while ago, right? So that would suggest he is either healthy or getting healthy. And now there is no Damian Harris. The only guys he's competing for carries with are an excellent special teamer in Rex Burkhead, J.J. Taylor, who they promoted from the practice squad, who's 5'6", and super exciting, but still, he's a diminutive back, and James White, who's never been a workhorse. So I wouldn't be surprised if Sony Michel gets 20 carries on Sunday. Let's move forward.
And by the way, they play the Dolphins.
Yeah, favorable matchup, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Just
like that call, by the way.
Like DFS, I'm no CFS, CSS, but maybe a potential early season, maybe not roster building block, but a guy to have in your mind.
Why can't there be BFS, DFS?
What's BFS?
Barry Field Stefania.
Oh, wow. You want to do a BFS CSS like showdown, Matthew?
Yeah.
Let's talk about this.
We'll do
a gladiator style.
BFS CS, take it on CSS.
That's good.
I like it. For DFS.
I like it.
There you go. Someone sent a note to the sales guys.
File that to the news desk.
Yes, exactly.
Our new joke.
Yeah, exactly.
We got a couple more things here. One more running back we're going to talk about before we move on to wide receivers. DeAndre Washington released by Kansas City. Is this news or noise for Daryl Williams' fantasy value? And if you listen to this podcast for any of the last week, Matthew, we already know the answer to this.
Yeah, this is news. This is absolutely news.
Yeah.
Daryl Williams is, by the way, for people that are doing best ball drafts over the, you know, like that are, like to me, Daryl Williams, whatever, I did the randomizer draft. We did the underdog randomizer draft, me and Peter Overzet, and I did Daryl Williams. I got Daryl Williams, and I was excited about it. And in fact, I got Daryl Williams in the draft we did last night because I also drafted CEH in the first round. Here's the thing. Like, Daryl Williams last year, all super small sample size, but in the games in which he got 10 or more touches, he averaged like 15.6 fantasy points per game. And we know that, like, Coral Buckhalter and Spencer Ware and Charcandrick West, like, if you have a pulse and you're a running back in Andy Reid's offense, fantasy value.
Yeah, just,
and so just insurance for CEH, I think, is important just in general. And then the other thing that I would say here is that, look, he's a good blocker. He's a good pass protector. Like, he is somebody that they may use more than you think as CEH gets up to speed on all facets of Andy Reid's offense. He's the only guy. He's the only guy in that running back room that was on the team last year, other than Darwin Thompson, who, you know, also a diminutive player and, right, you know, kind of a more of a gadget guy.
Two things that I'll say is, one, because there were no preseason games, and two, because the roster cutdowns went from 80 to 53 as opposed to 90 to 75 to 53, it was harder for us to have a full grasp on how backfields actually stacked up. We've crystallized a few of these backfields. We just discussed the Patriots. We're now discussing the Chiefs. Even the Lions became a little bit less clear. But still, it's a good reminder that it may take us a little bit more time this year to understand the hierarchy. And now it feels like there is one in Kansas City. And Williams is a player that if you have CEH, or even if you don't, might be worth a late round draft pick.
Yeah, I love him in best ball. To me, Darrell Williams is like a great best ball pick.
Okay. A couple more pieces of news here, Daniel. Let's get Stefania back in the mix with these.
Absolutely.
Hang on. Before we move on, real
quickly.
Okay, sure,
man. I'm
going off the note here because I think this is a good question that was put together on the note here.
Okay.
Just the little name game. Can we do this name game? Because I think this is interesting.
Yeah, you bet. I don't have a sounder for the name game. We don't have sounders for name games.
What do you think about playing a name game? Name game. Name. I don't have
bad. It's
a bunch of random phrases. She's a
cone. Watermelon sorbet.
Right. Or I like being naked. Right. It's just a bunch of different, like.
Just got weird all of a sudden.
No, it's just all, it's like, it's random things.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
I have webbed
feet. I love my dog.
Yeah.
It's anyway, whatever. Okay.
Sorry. I thought that was pretty good. You know, impromptu game.
So the question is, where does Darrell Williams rank among the insurance policies?
Ooh.
So Field Minister Yates.
Yes.
Let's see, Darrell Williams or Latavius Murray?
Yeah, clearly Latavius Murray.
I agree with you. Should we get Starfania in here? You know, Starfania, the injury analyst here. Starfania, what do you think? Darrell Williams or Latavius Murray?
I'm going to go with Darrell Williams.
Interesting. Okay.
Really?
What's your reasoning there? Are you more worried about CEH than Alvin Kamara?
I'm more uncertain. Yeah. I actually feel pretty good about Alvin Kamara in his comments related to the issue he went through with his spine. I still have some reservations about that. You know, still blowing off an epidural is kind of a big deal to me. But it's just the unprovenness. I mean, I could be totally wrong, right?
Yes, could be. I mean, it hasn't happened
we
yet.
We are frequently, Stefania. Yeah. Don't worry.
Yeah, Field and I are always wrong. But you, every once in a while, I suppose that could happen. All right, Darrell Williams or Alexander Mattison, Field Yates?
Yeah, Mattison.
I agree. Mattison. Stefania?
Mattison.
Okay.
Hmm.
You and I are on the same page. All right. Darrell Williams or Chase Edmonds? Stefania?
Darrell Williams.
I'll go Chase Edmonds.
I would go Chase Edmonds,
And I'm surprising myself with that answer. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going Chase Edmonds as well. I like Chase. I mean, because I'm not... I'm not feeling Drake the way a lot of people are this year, and I could be dead wrong on that one.
Well, Edmonds is a talented prospect, yes. Fourth-round pick. Kenyon Drake still got to prove a little bit, right? Yeah. And we saw Chase Edmonds has stepped in and done this before, and he looked great.
Right. Should have started tweet at Chase Edmonds, you know, Arizona Twitter. All right, and so we agree on that. And then Darrell Williams or Tony Pollard? Field.
Tony Pollard for me. He's going to have a role anyways.
Yeah, for me it's Darrell Williams there. Stefania?
Darrell Williams.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Ezekiel Elliott has never missed an NFL game in his career due to injury.
Right.
He had the 6-game suspension, but he's otherwise he's been 100% healthy. So, yeah. So for me, I would rank them Murray, Mattison, Edmonds, Darrell Williams, Tony Pollard.
Interesting. I have Darrell Williams fifth because we are excited in some ways. We expressed some encouragement, but still, like, you know, remember last year at this time?
Everyone's all
Darwin Thompson, Andy Reid unearthed another one, right? And I like, but you know, it's not a shot at the Chiefs. It's just like we got to be sometimes temper our expectations,
every year,
right?
There's preseason buzz around people that do absolutely nothing.
For what it's worth, on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, Jerry Jones this morning said that Tony Pollard was going to be active in the passing game this year.
Great, awesome. Let's move him up our ranks.
Okay.
All right. Moving along, Daniel.
If we can talk about fourth string tight ends, we can mention that the owner of a team said something about a running back.
No, I understand. Yeah. But you're just talking, which, no, it was a helpful tidbit. It was, you know what it was? It was what? Infotainment.
Oh, thank you, Matthew.
It was informative and it was entertaining.
Jerry Jones also calling plays for the Cowboys this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is interesting. And I just, when you think about the pass catchers that they have, they've got Amari Cooper, they got Michael Gallup, they got CeeDee Lamb, they got Blake Jarwin. right? They've got Ezekiel Elliott, who's a nice pass catching running back as well. But you think about as a sixth option on a passing offense.
Absolutely.
Tony Pollard is
up there.
Is a player.
He's
in the
a
NFL.
Nice sixth banana.
We're going to move ahead to some running backs. Stefania, we're going to start here with you. Debo Samuel might play in week one. Are the reports that we have heard, is this news or noise to you with what Debo's been dealing with this offseason?
I think the news has been leaking out, but I think this is just more confirmation that he's looking really good in practice. He was removed from the NFI list, and John Lynch, the GM of the team, said he could be available in week one. Here's what I would say to fantasy players, and I've been drafting Debo Samuel every chance I get, because originally I did expect him to go on the PUP list to start the season. I'm a little bit surprised by how quickly he's advanced, and this is the kind of thing that You can have a risk for re-injury following a Jones fracture. So there's a little bit of that to be concerned about, which is why I believe the 49ers will control his usage early on. They're going to want to see how his foot responds to limited action. Now, Debo Samuel can do a lot of things in limited exposure. But for me personally, and I have him on at least three fantasy teams, I probably will not start him week one because I want to wait and see how they're using him and how he looks.
I'm going to say this right here now. Two things. Number one is if Debo gets re-injured again, it's Stefania's fault. You know, curse is Stefania, though, right? I mean, let's
don't you even suggest
got him on,
such thing.
Got him on like three teams.
That's
got him on three
nice.
Teams already. Like, she's only done three drafts.
Right.
So,
that's not
but,
true.
No, I know. You've done many. But you got him at you and I were in a draft last night, Stefania, and I know you got him in the draft last night as well, which I was bitter at you because you sniped me a lot last night. I was super annoyed with you. But I will say this. Very clearly, that at his mid-10th round ADP, I think we're going to look back a year from now and realize Debo Samuel is one of the biggest steals of the draft this year.
So should he be going much earlier than that?
1,000%.
Okay, how early?
If before his injury, Adam is a top 15 wide receiver. I had him in that Terry McLaurin, A.J. Brown kind of area.
Yeah,
that's how good Debo Samuel was. I mean, you think about over the second half of last year, he was a top 10 wide receiver. He's now into his second year in Kyle Shanahan's offense. He was going to play the X, and Shanahan's offense, if you think back to the Julio Jones days or even like Pierre Garçon in Washington, like the X, generally speaking, in Shanahan's offense is the guy.
Right.
Manuel Sanders no longer there. Like all due respect to Brandon Ayuk and you know, Trent Taylor and Richie James and whatever, the ghost of Dante Pettis, like there, it was like going to be the Debo show other than George Kittle in that passing attack. So I think he's an immensely talented player. So then the injury happened and we were all like, oh, well, too bad for that.
Yeah.
But yes, if he were, I think he is in
seventh round.
I think he is in that AJ Brown. I think talent wise and opportunity wise, he is in that Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, Cooper Kupp, my little Cooper Kupp, Terry McLaurin.
How soon is
I think
too
he's
soon,
in that
then?
Range.
How soon is
so
too
if he's
soon?
Going in the 10th round, to me, I think fifth or sixth round.
Okay,
that's the kind of talent where I think he is.
So you're
but I think
just
if you
counting
him
a round
seventh,
or two,
you get him in the seventh or eighth.
Okay. Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, the two hesitations.
I think he is a massive value this year.
Right. The two hesitations are probably pretty obvious, right? If he only plays 12 or 13 games. And the second one is that the Jones fracture is one that has, you know, it has bothered players much longer than when they return to the field in a variety of sports. So, Daniel, what do we have next here?
Next up. Does Mike Williams, Stefania, likely being a game time decision matter for you in terms of your week one ranking on any of the other guys here? The real question is, with Mike Williams, news or noise on the idea that his absence is going to affect the rest of that offense?
If the news or noise is on how it affects the rest of the offense, I think it's a bit of noise because we already were sort of planning for him to be gone. If you go back to when the injury happened, he had a sprained AC joint, took a hard fall when he was out of pads in practice. And they said at the time that they expected a 2 to 4 week absence. And now Anthony Lynn says game time decision. If you look at when the game falls, it'll be right around 3 weeks. So I think they were planning on not having him and operating in that direction. And if they do, it'll be an additional pleasant surprise. But I don't think this is a shock to anyone.
Okay. Matthew,
I feel like we talked about this before. We already knew Mike Williams was going to be out. We planned on Mike Williams not being there.
I mean, if the question is like, does his game time decision really impact the rest of the Chargers? My answer is no.
Not for week one.
Not at all.
You know, I mean,
yep.
The guys we like there, we like.
Yep.
We like Austin Eckler. We're, you know, obviously we have a discounted version of Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen, yep.
Although he's not discounted. That man made some coin over the weekend. 4 years and $80 million. Congratulations to Keenan Allen.
For him.
And then same thing for Hunter Henry, right? Even though I'm a little bit more optimistic than Matthew, it does not impact me, my rankings, one way or the other. So I suppose along those lines, it's noise. Let's wrap it up here, hey, Daniel, with one more.
Last one, Stefania, going to come back to you. AJ Green expected to be a full go against the Chargers in week one. Is this news or noise for AJ Green?
I think it's news. People have been hesitant on him, and understandably so, because he missed all of last season with the ankle issue. And then we hear reports of a hamstring issue in camp. I think it was a bit overblown. People just reacted because it was AJ Green, who's had a lot of injury issues in the last 2 years. But it was a proactive move by the Bengals to make sure that something that he felt in practice, which, by the way, he wanted to return to practice the next day, and it was Zach Taylor who was like, no, we're going to preserve you for the season. So they've been really happy with what they've seen. He is 100% right now. I actually really like AJ Green this year. I know I've told you guys that before, but he's got a lot to prove, and nobody works harder at rehab. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who works harder to get back from his injuries.
So here's my question now, Field and Matthew, for you guys. Kyle put this on the note, which I love. This will be AJ Green's first game action in 651 days. Week one, you have not seen AJ Green in a long time. Are you comfortable having him in your starting lineup week one based on what Stefania just said?
Yeah, he's probably but here's the thing. You drafted him to potentially be your flex or maybe be your wide receiver four. So if you drafted him to be your flex, I'm okay with it.
Sure.
Right?
You if had you Brandon did, Cooks and AJ Green and you were worried about Brandon Cooks, no problem sliding AJ Green in there from this.
Yeah. So along those lines, Daniel, what I would say is that I would also add that Zach Taylor did note that they have excellent depth this year at tight end. So they have some opportunities, at wide receiver, so they can they may not necessarily need AJ Green on the field for every single snap because they have T. Higgins and they have Auden Tate and they have Tyler Boyd. Not all of them do the same things as AJ Green. So I also wouldn't be surprised if he plays 70% of the snaps in week one. But if you felt comfortable enough to make him your wide receiver three or your flex, yeah, I'm starting him in week one. It's not a great matchup.
It has nothing to do with stats.
Sure, of course.
Joe Burrow, number one pick, number one overall pick, making his debut. Here's AJ Green, faced the franchise, making his first game in 651 days. AJ Green's getting the ball.
Yeah.
You think so?
Listen. Don't know what it's going to look like. I'm just saying, I feel pretty good about the fact that I think Joe Burrow is going to try to get AJ Green the ball. All due respect to Auden Tate and T. Higgins and John Ross.
Sure.
And even Tyler Boyd, and CJ Uzoma and all the other pass catchers that the Cincinnati Bengals football franchise has. I'm just saying, I think AJ Green is a phenomenal talent, and the concerns on AJ Green are health. If he's out there, if he's active,
yeah,
then I think you're probably starting him. It depends on what other options you have. Obviously, he's probably your wide receiver three or four, depending on how your draft played out. But yeah, a gut call. I just think the rookie quarterback tries to make sure, because his life is going to be a lot better.
Totally.
It'll be a lot easier for Joe Burrow if AJ Green is out there healthy, motivated, and into it. And so I think there's going to be multiple attempts to try to get AJ Green the ball and in a productive way.
I think not only do I agree with you, I think it would be foolish to discount AJ Green in week one. But if you are somebody that is into discounts, Stefania, maybe you could help us out
it.
Here.
Let's go.
Boom, shakalaka.
I mean, how do I follow that segue? Did you guys know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies?
What?
That's 15%. What? Yes. That's the discount that Daniel was referring to in that awesome segue. That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your dog to make you breakfast in bed? It's not going to happen with Cooper. With Belgian waffles and a fresh fruit compote, as nice as that sounds, it's probably never going to happen. But at least there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more.
You know what I'm waiting for, Stefania? I'm waiting to have a real crew around me to be able to help me keep this show in line. Matthew Berry, if I was going to hire somebody to work on this show, do you have any suggestions as to where I could look?
I have one. I have only one suggestion.
Okay.
And that would not be to look to either me or Field Yates. It would be to our friends over at ZipRecruiter. You know, when it comes to scoring great hires for your business, you may be up against some obstacles, like lots of applicants, but difficulty finding the right ones for your job. This is not an easy gig to fill, producing the podcast, but you might need, here's the other thing you got to find out. You got to, or finding time to hire while running your business, plus trying to ensure workplace safety. All those things are challenges when you're trying to fill a job, right?
Yeah.
Workplace safety, finding time to hire while running your business, finding somebody that can put up with either Field or myself. Listen, that's why you need ZipRecruiter on your team, no matter the industry, healthcare to manufacturing to business services to podcasting. ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. First, when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, you're not going to believe this, get sent out to over 100 top job sites, right? Not just one, over 100 top job sites. ZipRecruiter, their powerful matching technology. It's much better than your own personal homemade matching technology. Yes. I assure you of that. They have powerful matching technology, and it hustles for you to find people with the right experience for your job and advise them to apply. Maybe the only time that hustling,
yes,
that something good comes from hustling. Check out this stat, guys. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So add ZipRecruiter to your roster to help you win the hiring game. Try ZipRecruiter for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. Once again, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. It's ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
All right, now I'm going to move along, Daniel. Let's talk about rookie running backs. Actually, I can talk about it with Matthew as well, and we've talked about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I am convinced more than any other player on this podcast in the first month, I guess not even of the preseason because the preseason is behind us, but we have talked about Clyde Edwards-Helaire a ton. Most people have already had their drafts. If you haven't yet, I can guarantee you this. He's going in the first round unless you play in some very weird two-quarterback scoring system league.
I'm in a 14-team. At 4 o'clock today, I'm in a 14-team league.
Okay.
I have picked 4.
Yeah.
You take CEH at 4?
I'm taking Alvin Kamara at 4.
I agree.
That's what I have. I have. But just because it's a 14-team league, do you aim for the fence a little more because it's a little bit of a deeper league?
If you want to, sure. But you know what? Actually, obviously, can I just interrupt? And I know this is like throwing breaking news into the show, but we don't. No.
ESPN
Sorry, you said the words.
Breaking news.
I just think it is worth noting right now. Sure, and we'll get back to Clyde Edwards-Helaire in just a minute. But just at the beginning of our show, Adam Schefter did tweet that the Saints and Alvin Kamara are, quote, extremely close to an extension. And the reason why that's fantasy relevant and it ties into the discussion you might be having at pick 4 is that the only hesitation that some had surrounding Alvin Kamara was that, hey, this is a player who, if he doesn't have a new contract, same concerns we would have if Dalvin Cook doesn't have a new contract. Yeah. As I said last week, and I think Stefania kind of suggested as much, I said last week, plainly, the epidural is irrelevant to me. I'm not concerned about the health. I'm just not. And I know that Stefania's a medical expert, but my own opinion was that based off what I was what I understood, I was not concerned. But I was concerned about
the
contract.
You're calling Stefania stupid, which seems aggressive, but
no,
that's fine.
No, I'm not, but I appreciate you skewing words. But what I was going to say is that the contract being done or being very close gives me even more confidence that if you have the 4th pick, I am going to Alvin Kamara. So I want to mention that, and we can discuss it more if it's done, and maybe we'll come up again tomorrow. But
I would say, I mean, my question is less Alvin Kamara, because I feel the same way that you do, Field. My question is, if you're at 5 and you have Dalvin Cook staring you in the face and you're wondering that, like, I've gone CEH over Dalvin Cook. I did it actually yesterday.
I think that's 100% fair. And by the way, I think that's how my rankings currently are. My rankings have, I have CEH at 5, I have Henry at 6, I have Cook at 7.
Wow.
Until Cook gets signed.
Okay. So then that's the conversation here. What are the expectations for Clyde Edwards-Helaire? The expectations are a great fantasy season. He is playing in an unbelievable offense. He is very much a fit for what you need in a PPR running back, a gifted pass catcher, obviously a very talented runner. I was joking with someone over the weekend that, like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire could be very sort of average relative to expectations and still fall into the end zone 12 times and be useful for fantasy football, right? He himself does not necessarily need to be great to wind up being a player that you can use every single week in your lineup. So we expect him to be a huge, huge part of the Chiefs offense, not just because of the Damian Williams opt-out, but also because of everything that the Chiefs have told us and everything that we have seen from this player or did see from this player during his time at LSU.
We've talked about it before. There's a chance, there's a legit within the realm of possibility chance that the Chiefs just absolutely destroy everyone this year.
Mm.
That they just, like, you know, on a mission from God kind of thing.
Right.
And just just absolutely steamroll the entire NFL, given all the talent they have on offense, the fact that they have basically everyone back in a shortened season. And, you know, they got Patrick Mahomes, who's just magic, right? So think about Damian Williams and what he did in the Super Bowl, which is the last football game we all got to see.
Yeah.
Like, all due respect to Damian Williams, who's a nice player, but he ain't CEH. And, I mean, like, Damian Williams had a monster fantasy game in the Super Bowl. And, I mean, like, that's one game, but that's just the one that's all sort of in our memories. Like the lead running back of an Andy Reid offense, whoever it is, has averaged over 18 fantasy points per game. And that sample size is 15 years. Literally over the last 15 years, the number one running back in an Andy Reid offense has averaged 18 fantasy points per game. And that includes a lot of offenses that didn't have Patrick Mahomes as its quarterback. And that includes a lot of years when the lead running back were guys like Spencer Ware and Sharkhandrick West and, you know, and Damian Williams and just other guys that were, like, all due respect, journeymen that weren't a first-round pick. The only guy, the only running back that Andy Reid has picked in the first round in his entire NFL career as a coach, as a play caller.
Yeah.
You know, as somebody in charge of the offense.
They're certain special.
They
line, right?
Love this kid. Yeah. And so I think expectations for him are sky high, and I think they're deserved.
Yeah, I agree. And so we look forward to seeing Clyde Edwards-Helaire as a player that could potentially find himself in the top three of running backs by the end of the season. Let's talk about rookie running backs that are in the middle of committees. We talked about DeAndre Swift earlier on in the show, but, like, speaking generally, Matthew, is there a rule of thumb? Are you drafting or are you avoiding rookies that are in timeshares? Because it's not just DeAndre Swift. It is Jonathan Taylor, he and Marlon Mack, plus Nyheim Hines, Cam Akers, along with Daryl Henderson, and obviously Malcolm Brown in Los Angeles. There are others as well, but is there a one-size-fits-all rule, or do you kind of have to take this one bit by bit?
I think it's bit by bit, and it's sort of how your draft comes to you. Like, there are times where the draft we were in last night, so I just kept getting snaked. Like, I had pick 8 in a 12-team league. Somehow CEH fell to me at 8, which I was thrilled about. But by the time I got around to the second round, every other running back had been taken, and it was either Davante Adams in the, you know, basically almost in the middle of the second round, or reaching for Chris Carson. And I love Chris Carson, but I'm like, I'm not passing up Davante Adams, like, in the middle of the second round, who legit has a chance to lead the NFL in targets this year. And so anyway, as a result, like, I went back around in the third round, I got Mark Andrews because I didn't love any running back. So my number two running back was Raheem Mostert. And I do like Mostert this year. I do think he's a little bit undervalued. So I was in a little bit of chasing running back mode. And so when you're in chasing running back mode, I'm okay with some of these rookies, right? But for me, like, I don't want Swift because, again, it's a three-headed monster.
Yep.
I'm okay on Taylor because I don't believe Marlon Mack will stay healthy, and I just think Taylor is a special talent. And in that offense, that offensive line, he's good. Cam Akers, I'm okay on, but I do think that's more of a, you know, listen, that one I'm a little bit more on the fence on, because if Cam Akers has a huge game on Sunday, then it just might be the Cam Akers show. Like, he's right, going to have an opportunity because of the Henderson injury. But as we talk about, listen, don't tell anyone on CSS, but for BFS,
right,
DFS,
right,
Malcolm Brown, I think, is a sneaky guy this week as well.
Okay.
Because
put him in the week one sneaky pile. We've got Sony Michel and Kerryon Johnson, Malcolm Brown.
He's going to get the start.
Yeah.
Malcolm Brown's going to get the start and going to get, you know, I think, more playing time than people realize. We'll see, right, if Henderson's even active in this game. And so
I think I saw over the weekend that they signed Raymond Calais off of a practice squad. Did I see that correctly? Which maybe suggests to me, at least, that maybe Daryl Henderson could be unavailable in week one. There's one more running back that's right in a timeshare as a rookie or could eventually.
Before you move on to this, are you going to go to Zach Moss?
You can talk about Zach Moss.
I was just going to say, but Zach Moss to me is somebody that there's two rookie running backs that I target a lot in drafts that go later than all the guys we just talked about. One is Zach Moss, who I think has a legit chance, and it's one of the reasons why I'm out on Devin Singletary this year. I think Zach Moss has a legit chance to become the starter this year in Buffalo, and his ADP is super low. He's going running back 39. He's going in the 13th round. So I think that's a great value for Zach Moss, who has a real opportunity in what should be still a run-heavy Buffalo Bills offense. And I'm going to be in 14 leagues this year, and I think I'm going to have J.K. Dobbins in almost all of them.
All right, well, this is a perfect segue. Daniel, we do have a conversation surrounding J.K. Dobbins, and I'm going to hand this back over to you for a smart second.
Yeah, the smart trade decisions is informed by IBM Watson Fields Yates, and one of the things that we're looking at is, let's say that you had Mark Ingram, right?
Yes.
But you weren't able to get J.K. Dobbins to be able to fill out that Ravens backfield the way that you wanted. So we don't usually advocate for making trades, you know, before the season starts, waiting to see how the roster works out. But if you're in a situation where you need to do this, IBM has a great trade tool that we have set up through our app. What is it that you would feel comfortable trading in order to get J.K. Dobbins on your roster?
All right. So again, just to lay this out here, if you took Mark Ingram relatively early, but you really want to make sure that you pair him with J.K. Dobbins, I think the question, Daniel, is that let's say someone gets in front of you and takes J.K. Dobbins because they're slimy or they're greasy or they're just a mean person like Matthew Berry.
Balding.
What?
All right. So.
Wow. I'm just sitting here minding my own.
That part feels a little bit irrelevant, but I don't hate you mentioning it. So.
Ing, though. Always ing. Always ing.
Correct.
I try to be polite.
So I think, you know, people are going to understand that they have leverage, right? The person who drafted J.K. Dobbins is going to say, I have leverage over you, Daniel or Field, who wants J.K. Dobbins. So the question I think you're going to have to ask yourself is, let's say you took like a non-Zach Ertz, non-Travis Kelce, George Kittle, like not one of the, like, let's say 3 to 6 best tight ends, because you're not trying to wait Zach Ertz for, you know, J.K. Dobbins, for example. But if you took one of those tight ends that somewhat, like, we have some confidence but also some reservations surrounding, I think it's at least on the table. And so, like, an example, if you took an Austin Hooper or maybe even, like, who else is ranked, like, somewhere between, like, 8 and 12 at tight ends?
Jared Cook, Rob Gronkowski.
Jared Cook, Gronk, yeah.
Hunter Henry.
Yeah, I would say, and I would, Hunter Henry might be, like, a little bit too rich for me, but I think it's on the table there. So I would consider moving on from my tight end that I maybe put as, like, a medium priority player, understanding that, let's just say that someone says, all right, listen, I've got J.K. Dobbins. You give me Gronk. I give you J.K. Dobbins. Call it a deal. Because what my strategy then is, all right, great. I'm basically looking at it as I am trading Gronk for J.K. Dobbins plus T.J. Hockenson, right? Or, you know, something of that to that effect, right? Or Noah Fant or something like that, right? So, you know, I think that along those lines, like that'd be an example of somebody I'd be willing to trade. Moreover, would you be willing to trade? And I think the question might be like, what if it's the best player off your bench? Because I think the idea is if you want J.K. Dobbins, you are valuing him for potentially being a starting running back if something happens to Mark Ingram, or if he just shows off the talent he showed off at Ohio State. I don't think that I'm willing to part with the best player on my bench. But I think I would consider anybody that's my second best player on my bench or worse. Understanding that part of my bench is made up of players that, like, I might be dropping within a week or two, right? Or maybe more like 3 to 4 weeks. So I think it's an interesting sort of valuation conversation, but he is one of the most
absolutely
coveted insurance policy running backs. And he might be more than an insurance policy running back because we saw last year, Gus Edwards got like 100 carries in this offense. And I did love that the Ravens made J.K. Dobbins their fourth string running back on their depth chart. I am going to go out on a limb, and I don't like to, shock value is not really my thing, but I am hereby declaring J.K. Dobbins the greatest fourth string running back in the history of the NFL.
I like it, Field.
Any argument?
Nope.
Okay, got it.
Check out the IBM trade tool exclusively in the ESPN Fantasy app.
All right, so other running backs that are rookies, you taking any flyers on any of the remaining rookies who are kind of in a semi-work share, Matthew? Antonio Gibson, Keyshawn Vaughn, A.J. Dillon, Josh Kelly, amongst others. Anthony McFarland for the Steelers.
It's a couple of those guys. First off, Antonio Gibson's the obvious guy. I don't think, I guess somewhat of a timeshare, but, you know, there's a lot of hype on Antonio Gibson. You guys.
That changed fast. Like, it came quick, and it came heavy when.
Not Antonio, for this kid. I mean, well, listen, I mean, like, I was excited about, like. What?
Kid?
Well, you know, relatively speaking. No, I mean, look.
Technically,
I mean,
go
back and watch the videos that I made draft night of the night of the NFL draft and when they drafted Antonio Gibson.
Right.
It was all in and have been since that first moment. Daniel sniped him from me in that draft last night, and I've yet to forgive you. I was literally 2 picks away.
I know you were.
And
I know. I knew you wanted him too, but that's all right. I told you could take Kerryon a couple rounds later and we'd be fine. We'd be even.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, so Antonio
Antonio Gibson, I think, is somebody who, you know, he's currently going as running back 44. I am at 34, so I'm significantly ahead of ADP, and I might even be too low on him there. Listen, you're going to see some. What you're going to see with Washington is you're actually going to see Antonio Gibson and J.D. McKissic on the field at the same time. And they're going to go. They're going to two wide receivers, two running backs. You know, they're going to do a lot of different things creatively on offense, but Antonio Gibson, I think, has a chance to be really special in this league and for fantasy. So I love him. Joshua Kelly is really interesting to me as well among the Chargers. Somebody's going to be the Melvin Gordon to Austin Eckler's role this year. Like, I don't know that they're going to be as much of a role as, you know, as Melvin Gordon had last year, but Anthony Lynn wants a 1-2 punch. He's discussed this as well. And so I think Joshua Kelly, I like Joshua Kelly more than Justin Jackson in that backfield. I think Joshua Kelly is somebody that's really, really interesting here. And then Anthony McFarland is one of my favorite late round flyers at the rookie running back position. Again, just James Conner has missed games, multiple games in every year of his NFL career.
Yeah, I just my hesitation, and there's hesitations for all these players.
And I know,
right?
I don't know Benny Snell is supposed to be the number two guy.
Sure,
there.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. Is that like, but we talked earlier about how we're kind of crystallizing these backfields now, and it's possible that even if we think we have them somewhat understood, for all we know, Benny Snell could be the number two, and then by Monday night, he could be the number five. He could be inactive, right?
Yeah, I mean, like a year ago, no one was talking about Philip. At this time, no one was talking about Philip Lindsay.
Right, 2 years ago.
2 years ago. That's
yes,
what I mean.
Correct. Yeah.
Exactly.
No, you're right.
I mean, like, right. There's always guys.
Maybe we should talk about him more. You know?
James Robinson, is that why you're talking about Philip Lindsay? Undrafted rookie running back that maybe could come in and do something?
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm just going to say it on tape so that when it comes true, it looks like I was prophetic.
Yeah there you go. Smart.
That's the key to fantasy
very,
football.
Very, very smart. Yeah. It's just the key to fantasy football success, at least in the prognostication business, is just make sure you say every possible prediction once, and then you have it on tape,
call
and
back.
Then you can run it back.
Yeah.
Because there's too much out there that people can't keep track. Like, and tomorrow what you should say is like, oh, stay far away from
stay
James Robinson.
Away. Yeah, yeah.
And now, like, either way, you're good.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
so good.
I think there are people in Vegas who do exactly that.
I don't think you're wrong. I don't think you're wrong, Matthew Berry. Yeah. But in this moment, I want to tell you guys that now more than ever, we have to look out for each other and count on each other. Marathon wants you to know that you can count on them for high-quality, top-tier gasoline. Marathon gasolines are formulated with STP additives that keep your vehicle running at peak performance by optimizing fuel economy, removing those ugly deposit buildups, and by reducing emissions. And right now, you can get 5 cents off every gallon, every day, with Make It Count rewards from Marathon. Plus, you can earn points for additional savings on fuel, airfare, hotels, and more. This is definitely a deal that you can count on. It's quick and easy to join. Just download the free Make It Count app or go to makeitcount.com/radio and start saving today. This offer is valid only at participating Marathon stations. Remember, wherever you need to be safe. The people at Marathon are behind you all the way.
Shell knows that between every tee up, lay up, and batter up that you can't wait to catch up with your favorite podcast. So come to Shell and get three things done at once. First, fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Then save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And finally, snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Oh, time to wrap it up. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell. It's in engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. See full terms and condition at FuelRewards.com.
All right, guys, we're going to do some social questions
Let's
here
do
to
it.
Close out
do
the
it
show.
To it. Yeah,
yeah.
Thinking. Yeah.
It comes from at Aaron Goody. Wants to know, highest bust potential do you think? Kenyon Drake, Miles Sanders, or Nick Chubb?
You first.
All those guys have a legit chance, but yeah. I'm going to say I think Kenyon Drake has the biggest bust potential out of those three.
How come?
I'll tell you why. First off, Nick Chubb and Miles Sanders are both going to have a role. Like both those, I think both those offenses are going to be good. Like, so Nick Chubb, the anti-Miles Sanders argument is that he's just not going to be worth going as a top seven running back. That Boston Scott and Corey Clement, or maybe they sign Freeman or another veteran, that it is more of a committee than we think. It's going to be more of a pass first offense than people remember. I'm telling you, Doug Peterson likes to throw. So the argument for Miles Sanders is it just doesn't return the value of where you drafted him. But I think assuming health for all these guys, right? And because assuming health for all these guys, Miles Sanders is going to be a good player.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's just whether he lives up to because he's going so high. Nick Chubb, the argument against Nick Chubb is just the Kareem Hunt argument. Like when Kareem Hunt was there last year, Nick Chubb was like a top 25 running back. He was still very useful last year.
Yes.
He still averaged double-digit fantasy points. He just wasn't like top five running back in fantasy the way he was over the first half of the season. So again, same thing, the argument for Nick Chubb is, again, assuming health, that's a better. It's going to be a better offensive line. Stefanski's going to have a better offense than they had last year. And so for me, again, the argument against Nick Chubb is he just doesn't return the top 10 value of where he's going this year because of Kareem Hunt. And I do like Kareem Hunt quite a bit as a player this year.
Sure.
The argument for Kenyon Drake is that they bail on him completely. Like, he has never been a workhorse back for the entire season in his NFL career. He just hasn't.
Yep.
Right? I mean, like, he We have seen flashes of it. We saw flashes of brilliance in Miami. We obviously saw flashes of brilliance in Arizona. But go look at that eight-game stretch. He had four games that were amazing. Like, he had a couple of 30-point games. He had a 17. And then he had a couple of games that were just sort of like, eh. Like, he got there, I think, I want to say he got there week nine. He was awesome in week nine. Weeks 10, 11, 12, I want to say 13, he was bad. Like, he was very average. Very average. And then the final three games of the year, weeks 15, 16, 17, he just absolutely crushed.
Yeah.
So you're looking at like a four-game sample. And again, for whatever reason, Alabama didn't want to make him a feature back. Two different coaching staffs in Miami didn't want to make him a feature back. Cliff Kingsbury has paid him. I get it.
And they traded David Johnson away to use him and pay him.
Yes. I mean, so I hear you. But it's also, by the way, that, I mean, you know, we've seen this a lot where they have signed, I mean, the Bears just signed Nick Foles, traded a fourth-round pick and signed Nick Foles to a big deal, took on his deal, and named Mitchell Trubisky the starter.
Like, news or noise on Mitchell Trubisky?
Right. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, whatever. I think it's noise. But because I just don't think you want any part of the Bears passing attack other than Anthony Miller and Allen Robinson. But it just feels like to me that's why I think the biggest bust potential is Kenyon Drake.
Sure.
There's NFL teams make mistakes personnel-wise all the time, and I think Chase Edmonds is a very talented player, and that offense could take off under Kyler Murray, and they just don't even need to run the ball that much.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
Field, give me your bust in slightly fewer words.
I don't know. What
I was going
more
quick in the last few words.
I know. It's my fault. That's my fault.
I'd rather not, because everything that was far too long for me to come back in and just say, like, my pick would have been Kenyon Drake, and just because, although he had a monster four-touchdown game and he had a great flourishing season with them, there were some weeks where it was 13 for 39.
Yep. Okay, love it. Let's move on to the next question then. This is from at Ethan San. I'm going to tweak this a little bit. If Devontae Freeman somehow ends up with the Bears or any other team in the NFL, where would he rank, and would you draft him today knowing he's still a free agent? If you're in the draft, you understand that you're weak at running back, you want a guy that maybe will have some value. Is he even draftable right now without a team?
So here's what I would say is that if he somehow ends up with the Bears, I don't think it'll be until after week one. And the reason why, he's a vested veteran. As a result of that, if he's on the week one roster, he is guaranteed his pay. I don't think a lot of teams want to guarantee the pay for a player that may not necessarily be there for the full season.
Interesting.
If he ended up with the Bears, maybe RB30, but still a crowded backfield. Tariq Cohen, they like David Montgomery. Much as we may not love David Montgomery, the Bears like him. And would I draft him today? Absolutely. He'd be one of my last three round picks.
The concern on me is that he's been injured a lot the last couple of seasons. And a lot of NFL teams have kicked the tires on Devontae Freeman, and he hasn't signed. And I don't know why that is.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's asking for too much money or if it's just they kick the tires and like, we're good. But all those things would give me pause as drafting him in anything other as like a running back four.
Okay. We're going to throw it over to Kyle in the bunker for our Geico trivia question of the day.
We've got waivers a week from today. So in that vein, we'll go with last season, week one. Who is the highest scoring player in week one? It was not rostered on over 50% of leagues.
Not drafted in over 50% of leagues and was the highest scoring player in week one.
The highest scoring of the players not drafted.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, it was only 12 months ago.
I know. I mean, it's like...
I have an idea. I could be wrong.
Stefania has been hot. Remind me, who's in first place in the trivia now?
We do have a board. Field Yates leads in points. Stefania Bell still a winning percentage, holds the lead.
All right. Stefania Bell, you have first pick here. What do you think? Our first shot at it. What do you got?
Just because I was looking at his stats last week.
Okay.
Made me think of him. TJ Hockenson.
Ooh, good one. He did have the most receiving yards for a tight end in his debut in NFL
That's
history.
That's a really good guess.
What do you got,
really
Matthew?
Guess. I have John Ross.
Yeah, also good. And he had a crazy week one last year.
Yes, he did.
I'm going Terry McLaurin. I think we have three good guesses here. One
Terry
of us
McLaurin.
Feels like we could be right.
Yeah.
Three good guesses. And Matthew Berry is closing the gap here. John Ross with 34.8 points at Seattle.
Wow.
Had the big week one and was undrafted in 97% of leagues.
Well done right there. Wow.
Way to go,
I remember
Matthew.
That. Yeah.
Way to go.
I just remember
Matthew
because I was.
Got an answer right.
Well, no, I remember actually.
I think we
had
like an 8-minute
league.
Segment of the podcast the day after.
No,
it also.
I remember thinking about looking at John Ross and Terry McLaurin. It was between those two guys. I remember those were And I remember thinking Ross had scored more points, but I thought McLaurin had a better shot at having sustained fantasy success. So I went with McLaurin.
Okay, good stuff there.
Speaking
well
of
done.
Someone who needs sustained fantasy success, if you do, rotopass.com, promo code 06010. Get yourself some customized draft software. Get you some alerts. Get yourself some customized ranks.
ESPN
values,
Plus
whatever
comes
value,
with that.
Whatever thing you play. Six great sites, one low price, and it includes ESPN Plus.
Yes.
Love that. Great value there. We are back tomorrow, of course. We've got a couple more shows before the Thursday night kickoff game. We've got plenty of news to react to, plenty of activity around the NFL with roster movements. We will be back to discuss it
Rankings
all.
Are up as well.
That's right. Go check them out on ESPN.com. For Daniel, Stefania, Kyle, and everybody on field. There's Matthew. Talk to you tomorrow.
We will. Peace out.
Never gonna hustle, in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me, because I don't think you could.
Jeff Bayfield Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Barry convert you.
Secret squirrel Daniel Dunn.
Make it happen.
Mediocre fantasy advice.
You're older than people realize.
That never stops.
Loyal 06010 listeners.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.